Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the different concepts and different beliefs, what I would call biblical myths. A lot of those biblical myths deal with how do you get saved, how do you know you're saved, and if baptism saves you, if baptism washes away sin, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about the misunderstanding of baptism that's reviewed in the Scripture. We talked about the mandate of baptism. Very clear, Jesus gave the mandate in the Great Commission. But what are the methods of baptism recorded? Greg, while you're still there, what have you seen, what have you heard of others saying in relationship to baptism, how they get baptized? What is baptism? If you use the word baptism, what does it mean?
Well, the model we see from Jesus Christ and his baptism was an immersion baptism. And when you look at the death, the burial, the resurrection, that's what's being symbolized there. You don't get buried by getting rained on. I guess if we have a torrential, downstorm, thunderstorm, you may think that you're being buried by that rain, but it's the immersion, the buried, the covered up, and coming back up, the symbolism there, and seeing the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself.
Absolutely. I'm going to get Pastor Davis to take a minute and read for us. Pastor Davis, if you would read Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, and then we will look at that for just a moment. Greg, go ahead with your statement while we're getting ready to read that text.
I was going to say to folks that listen often to you on the air, the conversations that I have with my dad on the air are the same conversation we have when I pick up the phone and call him at 10 o'clock at night. Y'all just get to kind of listen in, to eavesdrop on those conversations. We have the same communication, and I'm 50 years his son now. I tell you, the conversations are consistent. They're the same on the air as they are off the air. And as many times folks will listen in and they'll hear politics being talked about, or they'll hear things going on in the world being talked about, or they'll hear the gospel. We need to realize if we're going to be salt and light, you're salt and light in every avenue that you travel. You know, there are some in this world that are self-professed believers. I believe many are believers that are so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good. And the other is possible. You could be so earthly-minded, you're no heavenly good. Just remember, folks, be salty. Be salt and light wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing, whatever you're conversing about. I am going to have to go, but I really enjoy every moment that we have together. If we're chatting at 10 o'clock at night on the telephone or here on the air with everybody eavesdropping.
Amen. Well, Greg, listen, have a blessed day. Thankful for your call. Thankful for your interest and your concern. And thankful for what God has you doing there in the southern tip of heaven, that place called Tennessee.
Thank you so much. Love my dad.
Have a blessed day. Love you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, a chip off the old block don't fall too far.
That's right.
Amen. And I thank and praise God for him. That's one of the fruit.
That's right.
Amen. Of your labor. Amen. Right there. And I thank God for him. I listen to Brother Greg a lot of times as he calls in.
It's always
and he's
a
very sharp individual. Yes. And yes. I can say it rightly so. I see where he gets it from. Amen.
It's a blessing to see the boys, as they've grown up in the Lord, they've studied the Word, they know the Word, apply the Word, and involved in their churches and their ministries in our different states that they're in and serving the Lord. Pastor,
amen.
Reed, Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 for us. And
amen.
We're going to talk
the Scripture
about
says,
that.
And it came to pass in those days, that's verse 9, that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Amen.
So we see in that verse, those two verses, that he was baptized in water.
Amen.
Came up out of the water.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the word coming up or out of the water is the little Greek word ek. And I've used the term down through the years, Pastor, preaching and teaching. You've got to be into ek.
Amen.
You can't come up out of the water unless you've gone down into the water.
Amen.
And so the point is, ladies and gentlemen, baptism is not by sprinkling. The word baptized is the only word in the Bible, in the Greek text, that is a transliterated word. You might say, well, what does the word transliterated word mean? It means you take the word baptize, it's the word baptizo, and it's been simply transliterated from the Greek text to the English text, transliterated from baptizo to baptize. Baptize means to immerse.
Amen.
It means to immerse. A person can say, well, Pastor, I've been baptized. If you were sprinkled when you were 3 years old as a Catholic or as a Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran, et cetera, and I can go across the denominational lines, ladies and gentlemen, you've not been baptized. Baptism is by immersion, going into the water and coming up out of the water.
And you know another thing, Dr. Youngblood, right there in that,
yes, sir.
In those verses of Scripture that we just read right there, we see the Lord honoring his own word.
That's right.
Because in the book of John 3, he told Nicodemus, marvel not that ye must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And we see that in these two verses right here.
One of the things, too, Pastor, we see in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts is where Philip had met with the Ethiopian eunuch, Queen Candace's treasury, in verses chapter 8, verse 26 and following. And he read to him, he was reading Isaiah 53, and the Scripture says in the place of the Scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so openeth not his mouth. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, he's reading in Isaiah 53.
Amen.
And the Scripture says that Peter, Philip then opened his mouth and began the same Scripture and preached to him Jesus.
Amen.
So he preached to him Jesus. Ethiopian eunuch got saved, and the Scripture says very clearly where the Ethiopian eunuch said, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized, baptizo, immersed, placed under the water? And Philip said, here's the key. Before you're baptized, this is the key. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Praise the Lord.
I.e., he got saved, and after he got saved, he was baptized. And the Scripture says then, ladies and gentlemen, in verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both of them, into the water.
Amen.
Both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized, and he baptized him. And then when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. The point is,
Amen.
Baptism, the method of baptism is immersion.
Amen.
It's not sprinkling. It's not a good illustration that I've used down through the years, Pastor. You have granddaddy's died. You're out on the hillside, and he's in the coffin. You put him up on the hillside. Everybody didn't come along and pick up a handful of sand and sprinkle it on top of that casket.
Amen.
That's not baptizing. That's sprinkling.
That's not it.
But
Amen.
The hole is dug, and he's placed in it. So baptism, ladies and gentlemen, is going down into the water and coming up out of the water.
Amen.
That is believer's baptism. That's the method.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's to immerse. What is the meaning, though, of baptism? What is the meaning of baptism? So if baptism is not to save you, if baptism does not wash away sins, why are we baptized as believers? Baptism, ladies and gentlemen, always, 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 biblically speaking, always follows salvation.
Amen.
The biblical meaning of baptism and the method of baptism are totally interwoven. The meaning and method are interwoven, ladies and gentlemen. Biblical baptism is symbolic. It is symbolic. Pastor, turn, and we're going to read it together and talk about it in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and following.
Amen.
Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 6 and following. I'll just start out with verse 1. The Apostle Paul, what shall we say then?
Mm-hmm.
Shall we continue in sin that we may that grace may abound? God forbid. He's saying banish it from your thought. Don't say that because I'm saved I can keep on sinning. But he says banish it from thought. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now that doesn't mean we're sinless perfected after we're saved.
Amen. That's
not what it's saying. You can't continue to live in sin after you're saved. You can't continue to have perpetual sin. And then he goes on to the verse 3. We're in Romans, the 6th chapter. Know ye not that many of us that were baptized, immersed, baptizo, into Jesus Christ, were baptizo, baptized, into his death?
Yes.
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the meaning of baptism is symbolic. It symbolizes the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, Jesus died at Calvary. In salvation, we die unto Christ. Just as Jesus was buried in baptism, we are buried in Christ. Just as Jesus rose again, so also when we come back up out of the water, it is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And just as Christ rose again, ladies and gentlemen, the good news is we're going to rise again.
Amen.
We're going to rise again.
What a blessing.
There was that old spiritual that was sung so many years ago. And I remember back in the 70s, I always had the privilege of being in lockup at death row at the Florida State Prison. The prisoners were there. And they had no benefit of instruments because of being in prison. They were all on death row, those that I spoke to that Thanksgiving morning, preaching a Thanksgiving message to a great crowd of prisoners that were there in prison lockup. And they were singing one of the songs, "Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down."
Amen.
"Ain't No Grave Gonna
when
Hold
the first
My Body
sound.
Down."
Praise God. Amen. Get up out the ground.
Absolutely. Gonna come up out of the ground. And that's what they're singing. And that's what baptism, ladies and gentlemen, water baptism symbolizes, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that symbol, we find also the interlocking that as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, keep in mind it's mandated. It's not optional. It's commanded.
Amen.
It's commanded. So, ladies and gentlemen, listen, let me just pause for a moment, Pastor, and say this to our listeners. If you've been saved, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, if you've invited Christ to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, you've repented of those sins, you've confessed those sins, Christ has forgiven you for those sins, you need to follow him in believer's baptism.
Amen.
If you refuse to do so, you simply need to go back and check up and see if you've truly been born again. I don't know how many times, Pastor, I've dealt with people that say they've been saved, but they're reticent to be baptized.
Amen.
They are reticent to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And as we'll see in the final point, the motives of baptism, and the first thing is to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen.
In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Corinthians 15, the first three verses, the Apostle Paul speaking says, "Moreover, brethren, I did declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also are ye are also saved, if then you keep in memory that which is preached unto you." Notice the scripture says, "unless you have believed in vain."
Yes.
Verse 3 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day and ascended back to heaven, according to the Scriptures."
Praise
Ladies and gentlemen,
God.
The gospel, the essence of the gospel, Pastor,
Amen.
Is the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Nothing more, nothing less, but the basics of the doctrine. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've said yes to Christ as Savior and as Lord, you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Time won't allow it, but if we were doing a full study on this, Pastor, baptism always follows salvation. Always, always, always follows salvation.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 10, verse 46 and 47. Acts 16, 31 and 30, 31 to 33. In fact, I'm going to take a moment, Pastor, to read those verses, because it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 31 and following, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he baptized all of them straightway." He
Amen.
Baptized them all straightway, immediately. That's the word that's used
Amen.
In that text, immediately. So, ladies and gentlemen, once you say yes to Jesus Christ, unless you're hanging on the cross, unless it's an impossibility to come down off that cross, unless it's an impossibility to follow him in believer's baptism, you need to be baptized. Pastor, I remember many years ago a young lad that got saved. He was in a wheelchair. His body was very frail. In fact, if you try to pick him up, pull on an arm, it would literally pull his arm out of joint.
Mama.
So when he said yes to Jesus, I said, "Matthew, I don't know that we can baptize you because of your physicality." And he basically begged and pleaded. He wanted to be baptized. So never will forget, I was in the baptismal pool. His dad and two others were there in the baptistry with me. And they lifted him up, walked him down the brief three or four steps into the baptismal pool. And they were able to, without any pulling on his body or any strength that he did not have himself, they laid him down out of the water and picked him back up with my assistance.
Amen.
He wanted to be baptized. Even in his condition, even in his frail condition, even in his condition that he could not walk, could not move on his own. In fact, had very difficulty, major difficulties even speaking because of his malady that was ongoing, further deteriorating his body every day.
My.
But Matthew got baptized because Matthew got saved.
Amen.
And
obedient.
I say that.
Amen. Obedient.
Because if anybody out there listening, you've said, "Preacher, I'm saved and I know it," but you've never been baptized, you're deceiving yourself. Baptism is an ordinance of the church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are the only two ordinances in the Bible-believing church, not all these other extremities that people are out there. It's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism is what we're talking about today. And baptism, ladies and gentlemen, is required. It's commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if you're listening today, you've never been baptized, whatever church you're in, if they don't baptize by immersion, you need to find a church where they follow the word of God for baptism and not sprinkling and not saying, "Well, you know, back when I was 3 years old, my mom and dad were Catholics and they took me to the priest. The priest sprinkled some holy water on me and I'm okay because I've been baptized." No, you're not. You've been sprinkled. You
Amen.
Haven't been baptized.
Amen.
You're
Amen.
Baptized if you've been immersed. And it's the meaning, ladies and gentlemen, going back to that before we make a transition, the meaning of baptism, water baptism, is it symbolizes the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it symbolizes when we go under that water, we're dying to self. It symbolizes when we come back up out of that water, we're being resurrected to walk in newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Amen.
So
Amen.
If you've not been obedient, that's where we need to go, is the motive. Pastor, the motive of baptism.
Amen. But you motive. Know, Dr. Youngblood, that it's a terrible shame that we let small technicalities hang us up,
yes,
hinder us
yes.
as Christians from coming together.
Yes.
It doesn't matter because you're Baptist and I'm Pentecostal and anyone else is whatever they are.
Right.
This Bible says one faith,
that's right,
one God, that's and right. one baptism.
Absolutely.
Amen. He put that in there for a reason. Now, I'm going here just briefly, amen, to 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter 10, few verses, amen. This is what Brother Paul had to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 1. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat," not nothing different.
Mm-hmm.
"They all ate the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Amen?
Amen.
So now what's hindering us from coming together if the scripture is saying right here, Dr. Youngblood, that they all came together with one accord,
mm-hmm.
realizing, because going down into the Red Sea and coming back out on the other side, amen, it was symbolic of baptism.
Yes.
Even though, Dr. Youngblood, they didn't get immersed in the water at that time.
That's right. It wasn't water baptism
but
after
it was,
salvation.
Amen. Symbolic. But, amen. Of the fact that they did go down into yes. the Red Sea.
In
and
fact,
God brought them out on the other side.
That's right. When
but
you look at
Christ
it,
was the one, amen,
that
they followed.
That's
amen.
Right.
So that's what we need to do on today. Amen.
Absolutely.
Follow Christ.
And
do what the Word of God tells us to do. Amen.
And looking at that in the second verse, "And we're all baptized, baptizo, immersed unto Moses." That literally means baptized unto Moses into the cloud and the sea. That
Amen.
Is the cloud covering them and the walls around them and the floor of the sea beneath them. They
Amen.
Were all immersed in what was taking place in that era and that day. And it's used, by the way, because of the latter portion of that in verse 11. "Now all of these things happened unto them for an example for us that are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the whole world come."
Amen. Amen.
What we find in the scriptures for our admonition is
Amen.
For our example.
Amen.
That is what God is talking about. But in that text, it's not talking about water baptism now as we're talking about today for after salvation. It is talking about the fact that the word baptizo means to be immersed in.
Amen.
And so,
Amen.
Pastor, when we look at the motive for baptism, We've got just a few minutes on the broadcast. So if baptism does not wash away sin, baptism does not save, what is the motive for the believer to be baptized? Number one motive to be baptized, ladies and gentlemen, is to that we confess the Master. Confess the Master.
Amen.
Matthew 28:19 is the command that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. It's one of the great verses that were referred to as the Great Commission text, going to all the world, preaching and teaching and baptizing them. So we're being obedient. We're confessing the Master when we say yes to him in believer's baptism. Romans 6:6, we're willing to identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. So if you're ashamed to be baptized, if you're ashamed to stand publicly, and we baptize publicly, most churches today, Baptist churches, Bible churches, believer churches, we have a baptismal pool. Now, many denominations don't have that. They just have a little fountain where they do the sprinkling.
Amen.
And I'm not going to say this. I want to say this very clearly. If you've been saved and you've not been baptized, it doesn't mean you're going to hell. It means you are disobedient to the Word of God. You're disobedient to the Scripture. You're disobedient because the motive for baptism is to confess the Master, not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Secondly, it is to convey the message.
Amen.
To convey the message. Baptism conveys the message of the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, 2, and 3. The Apostle Paul said the gospel, in succinct form, the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ.
Amen. And that confirms our connection with the body of
you
Christ.
You got it. Absolutely.
We're telling the world, we don't run with you anymore.
That's right.
Amen. We are now, amen, a new creature
yes.
in the body of
yes.
Christ. Amen.
It is when you stand in believer's baptism, you're saying, I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm willing to identify with the body of Christ. I'm willing to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to be acknowledged as a Christian, as a believer in following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
It is our testimony before the world that we've been saved. Baptism is a symbol, again, a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is symbolically showing the world that I've died to self, I've been buried in Christ to be raised again to walk in newness of life. Doesn't mean we're raised again to walk in a sinless life.
Amen.
But to
Amen.
Walk in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6 tells us. But finally, ladies and gentlemen, the motive for baptism is not just that we confess the Master, not just that we convey the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we complete the mandate.
Amen.
We complete the mandate. Our obedience to the biblical baptism is obedience to the Great Commission. Obedience to the Great Commission. And Jesus Christ commanded, mandated. Ladies and gentlemen, you can deny it if you want to. You can reject it if you like. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, Jesus already said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power means all authority. So therefore, with that authority, he commands that we go out and we preach the gospel, teach the gospel, disciple the gospel to the nations. The word nations, there's the word ethnos, means every ethnic race of people, not just red and yellow, black and white, but to everybody that will preach and teach the gospel and baptize them.
Amen.
So it's completing the mandate where Jesus Christ mandates. Remember, Jesus commanded that we preach and teach the gospel and baptize them. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we follow him in believer's baptism, we're completing the mandate that he's given to us. Pastor, just for a moment, let's ponder some of the things and talk about them. Let's say in your circle of influence, in your sphere of influence, what are some of the objections to baptism? What are some of the myths of baptism? What are some of the things that you see that we need to talk about today that will be beneficial in particular to the circle of influence that you walk in, teach in, and preach in?
Well, going back to what was said earlier, Dr. Youngblood, I think the biggest problem is confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then being misinformed.
Yes.
Because some people don't know what to believe, and some don't know what they believe. Amen. Because, like you said, pastors in various denominations teach certain things, and a lot of that's based on tradition.
Based on tradition, based on denominational
Amen.
Dogma, and
Amen.
Not based on the directive of the Scripture.
Amen. Amen. So I can remember going to a church one time up in Poughkeepsie, New York, for a revival, and there was a person there that told me that, well, we were talking about some of the things that the churches believe, and they said that they baptized in the name of Jesus only simply because they read a scripture somewhere, and I can remember reading that in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. where those particular people at that particular time baptized in the name of Jesus only. Well, they took that.
It was John's baptism versus Jesus' baptism.
Amen. Amen. So they took that as doctrine. Mm-hmm. So that let me know right there, they didn't understand what the Great Commission told us.
Right.
Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, we don't baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We baptize in the name of Jesus only. Mm-hmm. So right there, like I said, misinformation, confusion, different other things like that, Dr. Youngblood, is what causes us to not come together on that subject.
And it goes back to a fundamental foundation, Pastor, that I talked about earlier in the broadcast, is the need for solid, conservative, biblical training. And what does the Word of God say?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the course of studies at Conservative Theological University, we have one of the courses that all of the students are required to take. It's called Ecclesiology. That is the doctrine of the church.
Amen.
In the doctrine of the church, we study believer's baptism. We study what is salvation, what is repentance, what is justification by faith, et cetera, et cetera. And those are the things, and I could just go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, those are the things that need to be taught in a classroom setting so that a pastor, preacher, teacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher can understand it, convey the truth to others. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we have the responsibility of conveying the truth of the Word of God, not the tradition of man, but what does the Word of God say? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on today's broadcast. We're looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.